So I say this to the militias and all others who believe that the greatest threat to freedom comes from the government instead of from those who would take away our freedom. If you say the government is in a conspiracy to take your freedom away, there is no freedom.
They'll never take our freedom!
Freedom?
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Freedom Rings. This is Tommy Freedom reaching you loud and clear on the alt-right frontier. I'll be your voice of reason for the next 30 minutes, so keep it right here. You are tuned in on the TFR Radio Network, broadcasting to you from a log cabin in a secret mountaintop location somewhere in Appalachia on White America Radio. Folks, and welcome back to Freedom Rings. I hope that everyone had a very happy Easter. If you are a young listener, I hope that the Easter Bunny delivered many, many tasty treats for you on Sunday morning. Now, if you don't celebrate Easter, then chances are you're either Muslim or Asian or Indian, and you're probably not listening to this show anyway, so I don't care about you. This goes out to all of the American and Christian listeners who tune into the show. So again, hope everyone had a very nice Easter. Let me just add here that I am trying out a new microphone position because up until now, I have had it directly in front of me, and that has taken a lot of direct noises and amplified them. And I have noticed that watching some of the radio talk show hosts, that instead of having it directly in front of them, they have it off to the side. So that's what I'm trying today. And it's going to do two things, because I can already see a difference in the way the audio is looking here on the computer monitor. Not only that, when I have it in front of me, when I'm trying to read something off of the computer, it gets in the way. So I have a double image of the microphone and the spit guard in the way. So one of them is blocking the monitor. So we're just going to try this and see how it works. I'm already liking it right now. I think it's going to sound a whole lot better, and it's going to let me see things a whole lot better. I think this is the configuration I'm going to use from here on out. So I want to start the show off today talking about gun confiscation. We have, of course, over the past several years, been dealing with this issue time after time after time when there is a mass shooting somewhere. It really started after Sandy Hook. I mean, it originally started after Columbine, but it really gained traction after Sandy Hook, and then the Pulse nightclub shooting, and now with the school shooting in Parkland, Florida. This thing is just like starting to steamroll about going in and taking our guns away from us, because somehow the government always knows what's best for us, better than we do. We elect them to make laws and enforce laws and to support laws that we support. And when they listen to the minority instead of the majority, that's when it starts to get dangerous, folks, because a few squeaky wheels are getting the grease, and it's not right, and in most cases, it's not legal. So what are we going to do when they come to take our guns? Well, folks, it's already happened. It's already begun. This has happened in the state of Massachusetts. Now, I found this news article. I want to share this with you. You may have heard this before because it's a little older, but if you haven't, I want you to listen to this article. It comes out of Boston, And it's the headlines here are 72 killed resisting gun confiscation by National Guard in Boston. Now, the article says, and I'm going to read you the article first. I'm going to go back and dissect this, okay? But I want you to listen to this in its entirety. And just listen to the wording in this, folks. National Guard units seeking to confiscate a cache of recently banned assault weapons were ambushed by elements of a paramilitary extremist faction. Military and law enforcement sources estimate that 72 were killed and more than 200 injured before government forces were compelled to withdraw. Speaking after the clash, the governor of Massachusetts declared that the extremist faction, which was made up of local citizens, has links to the radical right-wing tax protest movement. The governor blamed the extremists for recent incidents of vandalism directed against internal revenue offices. The governor, who described the group's organizers as criminals, issued an executive order authorizing the summary arrest of any individual who has interfered with the government's efforts to secure law and order. The military raid on the extremist arsenal followed widespread refusal by the local citizenry to turn over recently outlawed assault weapons. The governor issued a ban on military-style assault weapons and ammunition earlier in the week. This decision followed a meeting in early this month between government and military leaders at which the governor authorized the forcible confiscation of illegal arms. One government official, speaking on condition of anonymity, pointed out that none of these people would have been killed had the extremists obeyed the law and turned over their weapons voluntarily. Well, government troops initially succeeded in confiscating a large supply of these outlawed weapons and ammunition. However, troops attempting to seize arms and ammunition in Lexington met with resistance from heavily armed extremists who had been tipped off regarding the government's plans. During a tense standoff in the Lexington Town Park, National Guard Colonel Francis Smith, commander of the government operation, ordered the armed group to surrender and return to their homes. The impasse was broken by a single shot, which was reportedly fired from one of the right-wing extremists. 8 civilians were killed in the ensuing exchange. Ironically, the local citizenry blamed government forces rather than the extremists for the civilian deaths. Before order could be restored, armed citizens from surrounding areas had descended upon the guard units. Colonel Smith, finding his forces overmatched by the armed mob, ordered a retreat. The governor has called upon citizens to support the state and national joint task force in its effort to restore law and order. The governor also demanded the surrender of those responsible for planning and leading the attack against the government troops. Now, it names several people here who have been identified as ringleaders of the extremist faction who still remain at large. What do you think of that, folks? Does this sound like something that has happened, that actually could happen today? I deliberately said the governor. I did not name the governor, and I did not name the ringleaders of the extremist faction for a reason. I want you to think about this news article and the wording that's used in it, and exactly how you felt when you heard of this reporting. Because you see, my friends, this single shot that was fired by one of those extremist leaders was a shot heard around the world at Lexington. And on July 4th, 1776, those same extremists signed the Declaration of Independence, each pledging for their other countrymen their lives, their fortunes, their sacred honor. Many of them lost everything, including their families, their lives, their homes, everything, over the next few years. So who was that governor? It was Governor John Gage. And who were the ringleaders? Samuel Adams, Paul Revere, John Hancock. You know, I apologize. I always get emotional when I read this sort of thing because of the patriotism that I have and the love I have for this country and the love that I have for freedom and liberty and what those men and women went through, what they sacrificed for this country, for the freedoms that we could have today. It never ceases to amaze me, folks. It never ceases to stun me. And I still have so much admiration for those people who put their lives on the line to found this country that gave us the freedoms and the liberties that we enjoy today. But yet, we still see those freedoms and those liberties challenged by these anti-gun groups who are seeking to abolish the Second Amendment. And make no mistake, folks, while they may come out and say, oh, we don't want to abolish the Second Amendment, we want you to be able to hunt. No. They want to abolish the Second Amendment because the Second Amendment is the single amendment that keeps all the others in place. And as soon as they succeed in banning the Second Amendment, they are going to go after the First Amendment, which is not only the freedom of the press, it's the right to assemble peacefully, it's the right of free speech. Down goes the internet, down goes the newspaper, in comes government censorship. That is their goal, my friends. Their single goal is to disarm us so that they can control us. Now, this article was obviously done as satire, and it was written back in 1995. Had it been written after 9/11, that task force would have been named the Joint Terrorism Task Force. Because, of course, anyone who owns a firearm and believes in life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is a domestic terrorist in the eyes of the federal government. But I absolutely love the language that was used in this article. Whoever wrote this had a good grip of the way the media writes. The wording was perfect. It was spot on. And I'm sure if you hadn't heard this story before, you figured out pretty quick what this was dealing with. But the way it was worded, it was reported like a modern day event. So now let's go back and analyze this article. Actually, no, because I'm coming up to a point where I will be taking a commercial break in a couple of minutes, and I don't want to split this up. So let's take an early commercial break for once, and when I come back, we're going to analyze this article and dissect exactly what the words mean. Stick around, folks. I'll be right back.
30 years from now, my kids will be outnumbered. Are you going to let that happen? Don't leave the mess for your children to clean up. Join the struggle. Start here at KKK Radio.
Minorities, homosexuals, and women. I'm not a hater, but I hate that line.
Me too. You know, you see it written like that in the media.
Yes, I've noticed that. Why do you think that is? I don't have anything in common with so-called minorities.
Minorities, right. White people are the world's minority.
That's true.
I think they like to group all women together so white women won't consider their race. If they don't consider their white identity, they won't recognize the threats against it.
That's a really good point.
So, whenever I hear the phrase minorities and women, or minorities, homosexuals and women, I'll call it what it is, cheap shots against white women.
This message brought to you by the White Women's Perspective.
College students, high school students, business owners, entrepreneurs, learn how you can be a person of influence for a new America. Enroll in Soldiers of the Cross Training Institute. Learn more at www.sotctraininginstitute.com.
Gay pride days, school assemblies, posters on the wall. It's in our face every day. What's a white Christian teen to do? And does anyone really care? Listen each week to White Youth Focus, where teens discuss the propaganda war against them. Moderated by caring and thoughtful white Christian activists, Billy and Charity. Because it's okay to be white and proud.
Georgetown Law Professor Louis Michael Seidman says that the U.S. Constitution is archaic and downright evil. And people like this are teaching in America's law schools? It's frightening. Well, here's your chance to listen to one attorney who stands on principle and fights for the dreams of freedom-loving Americans. Listen to Jason Robb, host of Cross Examine, each week right here on KKK Radio.
Hey folks, Tommy Freedom here for Freedom Rings. I invite you to tune in every week and listen to my show, Freedom Rings, and hear what I, Tommy Freedom, have to say. It's usually pretty interesting and quite informative. It may have something to do with freedom. It may have something to do with liberty. It may be downright funny, but it will always be informative. So be sure and tune in each week to listen to me, Tommy Freedom, here on my show at Freedom Rings, broadcasting to you loud and clear on KKK Radio. Okay, so before the break, I told you that I would go back over this article and pretty much dissect it and explain it paragraph by paragraph. Now, it's important that we do that because even though this is talking about something that happened almost 250 years ago, it's using modern language that you would expect. So let's once again start. National Guard units seeking to confiscate a cache of recently banned assault weapons were ambushed by elements of a paramilitary extremist faction. Military and law enforcement sources estimate that 72 were dead and more than 200 injured before government forces were compelled to withdraw. Now, let me just interject before I even get into this, folks. This doesn't even mention the Boston Massacre, where federal agents ambushed and murdered five American citizens in Boston sometime before, which is what actually led to this. This was in retaliation for that. But National Guard units, of course, it was not National Guard. It was soldiers who were loyal to England. They were English soldiers. They tried to confiscate a cache of recently banned assault weapons. Well, at the time, what they had were black powder muzzle loaders, the same thing that the British soldiers had. Some of them even had cannons. I mean, we had them matched. That was the whole idea of the Second Amendment, was allowing you to arm yourself the same as the government. And they encountered paramilitary extremist factions, which is, of course, every red-blooded gun-owning American nowadays. Military and law enforcement sources estimate that 72 were killed and more than 200 injured before government forces were compelled to withdraw. In other words, the British soldiers fled. Speaking after the clash, Massachusetts Senator Governor Thomas Gage declared that the extremist faction, which was made up of local citizens, has links to this radical right-wing tax protest movement, commonly known as the Boston Tea Party. Gage blamed the extremists for recent incidents of vandalism, again, the Boston Tea Party, directed against Internal Revenue Offices, taxation without representation. The governor also, who described the group's organizers as criminals, issued an executive order authorizing the summary arrest of any individual who has interfered with the government's efforts to secure law and order. Obstruction of justice. The military raid on the extremist arsenal followed widespread refusal by the local citizenry to turn over recently outlawed assault weapons. Well, as we know, they do not match the criteria of modern-day assault weapons, but at the time, had they had that term, they probably would have referred to simple firearms as assault weapons. And yes, they tried to confiscate them. Gage issued a ban on military-style assault weapons and ammunition earlier in the week. This decision followed a meeting earlier this month between government and military leaders at which the governor authorized the forcible confiscation of illegal arms. Now that really doesn't sound like anything different than would try and happen today. We saw this happen after Hurricane Katrina. We have seen this happen in Connecticut. We've seen it happen in California. And we've seen it happen to an extent in Massachusetts in modern times. One government official, speaking on condition of anonymity, pointed out that some of these people would have been killed, had the extremists obeyed the law. That none of these people would have been killed had the extremists obeyed the law and turned over their weapons voluntarily. In other words, had they not stood up for themselves and stood up for their God-given rights, everything would be okay. Yes, just be good little sheep and do what the government tells you, and everything will be okay because they'll take care of us, right? Yeah, right. Let me just say here, folks, let me take a quick pause in my thoughts here. The liberals' intention with all of these assault weapons bans is to confiscate all of our firearms. It doesn't matter whether they're assault weapons, shotguns, pistols. It does not matter. Their whole intention is to ban them on the false premise that the Constitution is a living document. And had the Founding Fathers foreseen the types of weapons that we would be having today, they would have never authorized that. Well, folks, let me argue back that I think they had a pretty good idea of what arms were and the way that they were progressing, because as early as 1717, a gun was manufactured in Britain, and I forget the name of it right now, but it was a 9-shot reloadable cannon with a bore of about 1.5 inches diameter. They had assault weapons in the 1700s. They had repeating arms in the 1700s. So I'm sure they had a pretty good idea of how arms would progress. They did not, however, have any inkling whatsoever of how communications would progress. If they could have looked ahead and seen telephone, television, radio, and now the internet, that's something, if anything, that they could not have foreseen. So they would use that same argument to take away your First Amendment rights as well. That's exactly where it's going, folks. That's what this is all about. So let me continue here. Government troops initially succeeded in confiscating a large supply of outlawed weapons and ammunition. Can you say assault weapons ban? However, troops attempting to seize arms and ammunition in Lexington met with resistance from heavily armed extremists who had been tipped off regarding the government's plans. During a tense standoff at the Lexington Town Park, National Guard Colonel Francis Smith, commander of the government operation, ordered the armed group to surrender and return to their homes, just like good little sheep. The impasse was broken by a single shot, which was reportedly fired by one of the right-wing extremists. And as we all know, folks, that is the shot that was heard around the world. That is what started the Revolutionary War and what ultimately freed us from a government, a far overreaching and illegal government that was trying to tell us what to do. Exactly what we're seeing today from the liberals. 8 civilians were killed in the ensuing exchange. Okay, nothing between then and now. Ironically, the local citizenry blamed government forces rather than the extremists for the civilian deaths. Before order could be restored, armed citizens from surrounding areas had descended upon the guard units. Colonel Smith, finding his forces overmatched by the armed mob, ordered a retreat. Folks, there is a video you need to look up on YouTube. I don't know if it's still there, but it's a short video. It looks like it was the beginning of a homemade series that never went any further. But it's called the first day of the Second Revolution. And it deals with this exact scenario where the government is coming in looking for resistors and militia and just armed individuals who were tipped off they were coming and did a pretty good job on them. Governor Gage has called upon citizens to support the State National Joint Task Force. Once again, nowadays it's the Joint Terrorism Task Force, in his effort to restore law and order. The governor also demanded the surrender of those responsible for planning and leading the attack against the government troops. Samuel Adams, Paul Revere, and John Hancock, who have been identified as the ringleaders of the extremist faction, remain at large. Put them on America's Most Wanted, huh? Once again, fellow Americans, this is how the American Revolution began, April 20th, 1775. Is that not just an awesome article? I mean, it really is. And it applies even more so today, I think, than it did back then. The times may have changed, but the agenda of the left-wing liberals, the progressives, the globalists, and the Jews have always remained the same, and will continue to do so until one of two things happens. They eradicate or enslave us, or we eradicate them. It is that simple. They are an enemy. They consider us the enemy. If somebody considers me an enemy, I'm certainly going to consider them an enemy as well. And someone who is dedicated to erasing my freedoms, my liberties, my way of life, my ability to think freely, my ability to move about freely, is an enemy to America. They're an enemy to liberty, and they are an enemy to me. So what do you think about this Roseanne remake, folks? Did you see it last week or this past week? Me neither. No, I have no interest in watching an overbearing, overweight, bombastic, sarcastic Jewess. Now, they're trying to say that the reason that this got such good ratings is because she's pro-Trump. Well, folks, she is not pro-Trump. She is an actress and an entertainer and is being what the public feels she should be right now to garner ratings, which she got. Some 25 million. However, we'll see how long those ratings continue based on what her character continues to do or does not do. I'm willing to bet that after the initial influx of viewership here, I was trying to say onslaught and influx at the same time, it didn't come out right, that you're going to see the ratings start to drop because she's not going to maintain this. She may to a slight extent, but she'll probably actually never hear her mention Donald Trump by name after the first week. So everything's going to start to slip and slide, and eventually this show will be where it belongs, and that is in the trash can. Or as those of us who are involved in movie production, either as writers or directors, producers, actors, etc., any of the above, all of the above, would say on the cutting room floor. Either way, it belongs somewhere where someone can walk all over it or put it in the trash. So on that note, folks, I am out of time for this week. When I come back next week, I will start the White Month in History series that listener Mike from New York is sending me these things to put out every month. He's helping to contribute to the show. So, Mike, I do appreciate that. I know you're expecting to hear that this week, but I just had come across this article again and just needed to share it with you to remind you all that things have not changed at all and will not change. So until next week, my friends, this has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Until then, y'all hold tight. This has been Tommy Freedom for Freedom Rings. Out for now.